Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Robe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joel, a topic that I think is going to be interesting to monitor this year as it relates to the Titans is their leadership. What do we make of the leadership currently in place? Is there enough? Is there a void at leadership? And what do they have coming in the way of leadership moving forward here? Is Cam Ward kind of the answer of what you're looking for there? Now, look, there are a lot of reasons why the Titans were a bad football team last year, right? The roster they put together is not very good. You had a lot of first-year coaches that I think did not do a great job of managing the season last year, which is, when you factor all those things in together, how you end up as the worst team in the league. You know, I think coupled with that, Joe, is, they don't have a lot of established players, established leadership on their team. And Corey Curtis brought this point up yesterday in his weekly visit with us. The job that is still, in his opinion, in front of the Titans and replacing some of the leadership that's gone by. Here's what Corey Curtis had to say.
I think it's important. I mean, his coaches at the Incarnate Word and Washington State and Miami all basically call him a culture changer. And, you know, I'm not here saying the Titans had a bad culture, but, like, guys, we know the leadership void that was there with the departures of Derrick Henry and Ben Jones and Kevin Byard. You know, you don't just lose all those guys and move on. And so they have not had the guys to really replace those guys and set the standard for the team. And so, you know, having the guy in that position to set the standard for the team, I think, is important, and I think it comes naturally to him. So, you know, he doesn't have to be taught to do it. He doesn't have to fake to do it. That's who he is. He has expectations of himself, and I think he has expectations of his teammate. And I think it's a really important part of who he is. Now, can he do it at this level? You know, that remains to be seen, like every other quarterback that's been drafted before him. But I think it's a big component of who he is and an important one.
So that was Corey Curtis yesterday on the Cam Ward front. Joe, what do you make of the Titans' leadership currently in place, where that is, and the role that Cam Ward is going to play in that as they move forward here?
Yeah, I think he's darn near everything. You think about what they lost in last year's Kevin Byard, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, different kinds of leaders, but a really good, you know, leadership group. And then even some leaders in different ways, like guys like Denico Autry and Harold Landry. And again, that's one of the reasons that I kind of thought Harold Landry was worth keeping. One, like, what are you doing at the edge? They haven't done a lot since then. And also just because he's a pro, and I think he's a credit to any locker room that he's going to be in. He'll be good with Vrabes,
yeah,
up there in New England, but They're just it. There's an absolute void of that with this team. And that usually goes hand in hand with a void of talent. But I mean, I think J.C. Latham is a guy who, you have to have the credibility as a player, as one of the top players in the team, to be a leader. You just really don't have leaders. I guess here and there you might have like a special teams guy who's such an intense, but that's someone who's probably overachieving their talent level, right?
Right.
I mean, you have to have the credibility of being one of the top players in the team typically, and you have to have the quarterback be a leader. And really, if we're talking about leadership, I also think that you need, like, from the head coach down also, you need the culture to be set and to be strong. But it's Cam Ward. You know, it's Cam Ward. Is he going to be a culture changer? It's going to be hard for him to be a culture changer, like, to that degree if they go, again, 5-12, right? But still, that is one of the things that you want to see this year, is that he establishes himself as the guy to lead the team forward. And as they get better, that he's clearly the leader of the team. There just isn't, you know, there just aren't many other options. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know, you know, like, every guy on the roster, what they could be in that way. Some of these new guys could come in and be great leaders. This Oladejo looks like a guy who brings a lot of energy and enthusiasm, things like that. But, yeah, it's Cam Ward. Everything's on Cam Ward.
Well, look, I think back to, you know, when the Titans first got here in Nashville, their run of success to the Super Bowl and all that. Who are the leaders, right? Well, Eddie George stands out immediately. Steve McNair stands out immediately, right? Yeah, guys like Blaine Bishop on the defensive side of the ball. Keith Bullock eventually got in there as he was drafted here and stepped in that role. Whitecheck. You know, all those guys, I think, were important leaders here. And what also stands out, they were among your best players, right? Like, that goes hand in hand. Most recent run of Titan success, who were the leaders? Tannehill was a leader. Kevin Byard was a leader. Derrick Henry was a leader. And, again, those guys are – some of your best players, right? Now, I think last year people wanted to see Jeffrey Simmons take that step. And I'm not saying that Jeffrey Simmons is a poor leader, but I just didn't – first off, there wasn't much beyond him last year, which I think you need more than one guy in there. And number two, like, I just did not feel the same – I don't know that he's got the same leadership qualities that some of those other guys that we talked about have. So – I do look at their room right now, and I think there's a little bit of a void. Now, here's another interesting guy. Like, we talked about Lockett. Like, Lockett appears to be about all the right stuff. He's been incredibly durable. He's been incredibly productive throughout his career. You know, at this stage, he's going to be 33 in September, and his production is starting to go down. But I think he's a guy that could step in and be a leader on that team and on that offense, and maybe that's part of the reason you bring him in is to do that. But I do look at their roster right now, and I think they're lacking in that area, which I think is part of the story last year. Not the whole thing, but it's part of why they were as awful as they were last year.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of chicken and egg. It's like, so did the leadership contribute to the badness? Or just, if you're that bad and you're just that doomed to lose most Sundays, how much leadership is even able to show through? Obviously, with Simmons, I know PK just loves to just hammer him for, you know, like, some of post games, it's a little bit, you know, a little bit more like excuse making than like public accountability and stuff like that. He could be better with stuff like that. I think he's always been, even going back to when those guys were the leaders, I think Simmons was, his role was like, he was as fiery and emotional a guy as they had, and a great player. So I still think he was a leader there, but some of the team spokesman stuff, you know, went to those guys, and it just worked out better that way. I mean, during one of your favorite eras of the Titans, the Taylor Lewan era,
yes,
when he was the
face of the franchise,
yeah. He was an interesting case because
he played into why they were bad then.
What's that?
May have played into why they were bad then.
Well, he was an interesting case because he turned into a great player, and – I mean, I think he was actually, in a way, he's kind of like Simmons in terms of, like, really, you know, emotional guy, could absolutely get people fired up on the field and stuff like that. But was he, like, one of the primary leaders of the team? I would say, I guess it depends on how far down the list you want to go. But there were people ahead of him who were a little less, I don't know, goofy.
Well, you need, bottom line is, like, if you're going to be a good team, your quarterback has to be one of those guys. And just, you know, name the good team in the league that doesn't have a quarterback that's a pretty strong leader, right? Like, it's hard to find that in the NFL.
Like, that was a big criticism of their pretty good quarterback, Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's,
you don't want that.
Yeah. Who would you think of? Does anyone come to mind? You know, a guy who, like, maybe doesn't necessarily come off that way. A couple guys, Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence.
I don't know. I've seen some – I mean, Lawrence is kind of goofy. I've seen some pretty good stuff from Herbert.
From Herbert? Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, he's got Harbaugh with him now, so.
True.
Probably got some Connor Stallions help.
But again, like Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence have not done a ton of winning in the NFL, you know? I mean, there's
right.
Again, there are way more – I think there are more important aspects to playing quarterback than just leadership, right? Like, frankly, like if Will Levis was good, I think he probably would have been a good leader.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think he's got a lot of those qualities, but he's
absolutely
not good. He's not a good quarterback. So it there's way more important stuff to playing quarterback than just how much of a leader you are, and that'll be true with Cam Ward too. Like, I feel good about Cam Ward eventually being a pretty good leader for this team, but is he a good quarterback?
If he's good. Yeah.
Those are two very different things.
Yeah, and like Jaden Daniels, I don't know that Jaden Daniels is Mr. You know, like if you want to talk about rah-rah, like Kirk Cousins to me, as I think he's a great leader.
Yep.
That's his style. You know, I don't like his Jaden Daniels. You know, he's pretty – he's just like so –
pretty chill.
Yeah, he's so level.
Yeah. Like,
which is a great thing too.
There are different ways to do it. Like, yeah. Not everybody has to be Brady out there where you're just screaming at people all the time and you've got to play to be able to back it up. Right? Like, you know, Peyton Manning wasn't exactly the same way as Brady. Now, Peyton Manning would yell at people every now and then, but they weren't exactly the same. But, I remember, you know, you brought up Mariota. Like, when Tannehill got here, I think that was one of the most noticeable differences for people around the team. But, like, Tannehill's not afraid to get in there and stir some things up, and he's not a screamer or anything like that, but he's got an expectation of the way that he wants things handled and just operating that way as a quarterback. But, again, I look at, you know, part of this is just they were really good players, but I also, like, Kevin Byard, it didn't take long watching Kevin Byard handle himself to realize he's got the stuff you're looking for and what you're looking for out of leaders out of your team. And how many of those guys exist right now in the Titans room?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Byard is special because he was a great player. He was, I think, really great with dealing with guys. Not a screamer on the field or anything like that, but he had relationships with guys, and he totally set the standard of, like, preparation for games. And then publicly also, he would speak on anything.
Yep.
And that's two different things. There's, like, the internal
exactly.
side, but there is that's important too, to have someone who speaks to the fans, basically.
615-737-1025, our phone number. What do you make of the leadership currently in place for the Titans? Is there a void there? And how much of a factor is Cam Ward going to be in improving that as they move forward there? We'll get into all that a little bit more coming up next. Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 will be with us at 7:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
With Cam at this point, how much, I guess, leadership are you expecting from him at this point? How are you challenging him in that regard, knowing that this is still very new to him, but then also you guys the Rooks are going to join the vets on Mondays?
You know, I think it's most important for, especially for quarterbacks, but Cam in particular, is just has to be himself. You know, we're not asking him to do anything outside of what he would normally do, and I think that personality will start to show as he moves forward and he gets more comfortable and understands more. Obviously, he's got to worry about himself first. He's got to make sure he knows what to do, how to do it, that he's doing the things that he needs to do. But the leadership things come naturally. You know, those things show up as I guess organically as possible, because you're around players more and you get more comfortable. You learn people's personalities. So I don't put too much pressure on him to do that. I'm more concerned with him making sure he knows what to do and how to do it, and from there that stuff grows.
That's Brian Callahan over the weekend on Cam Ward and his expectations for his leadership as the vets come in this week. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 coming up at 7:30 to get into the Titans and Cam Ward with her. So looking forward to that. Some interesting thoughts on the leadership front. Mark from Ashland City says, there's a reason they focused on that aspect in the draft, character and leadership potential. It's because they don't have it. Somebody throwing out there, could Zeitler be that player as well as it relates to the leadership? You would hope he certainly adds to that coming in.
Yeah, that's a good ad. Guy got some snarl to him. Comes from winning, so that's always good too. So, yeah, and like I totally agree with like what Brian Callahan said there about Cam Ward, instead of in terms of like, to me, like, you don't talk about it. I guess if you have a shortcoming, like I think did happen, like when Vrabel got here with Mariota, it was a little bit of like, man, you got to talk a little bit more, you know? But it's all about playing the position, being good. And if you have that and you build that credibility, then I do think his personality is tailor-made for then just, you know, taking over the team, being the face of the franchise.
Well, and frankly,
number one, man.
Like, a lot of this is your perspective too, right? Because I'm with you, like on the Mariota stuff, like, and he talked about this on Bussin' with the Boys a few weeks ago about how you probably need to be more vocal and all that. I also think that if he was a really good player, we would have been talking about as, you know, that Marcus Mariota, he doesn't have to say a whole lot. He just goes out there and does it, and that's his way of leading, right? So I think a lot of your quote-unquote leadership style is also determined by, like, how do you play, right? Like, people will buy in regardless of really how you are as to if you're a good player, especially at that spot.
Yeah, that's true. I can't think of too many quarterbacks who are, like, totally deferential like he was, who were successful. I'm sure I'm forgetting someone, but
– not a ton. I mean, there's not like quarterbacks that are that way anyway, just in general.
But that's the thing, too, is, like, then he comes out and gets that run against the Jags. He's out talking trash, you know. So, I mean, there was a little bit of that in there during his pretty good time with the Titans when he was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
See how good that times. Goes. Good yeah. stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all be remembered.
I mean, I think that's going to be – there's a lot of things that are going to be interesting to monitor this year. Like, what's that next wave? We brought up when the Titans first got here, you know, McNair and Eddie George and that group were established, right? Like, they got drafted by the Houston Oilers. They went through the, you know, the traveling circus of going to Memphis and then Vanderbilt and then here in Nashville. And you know, even though McNair didn't really establish himself – like, as I mean, there were still some guys, like, when he went down that 99 year, there were still, and they turned it over to Neil O'Donnell. And we were like, get Neil O'Donnell in there. He needs to be the quarterback.
Right.
And then very quickly, when McNair got back in there, it was like, oh, no, that guy's the quarterback. So that's when he really kind of established himself. You know, Tannehill, Henry, Byard, that crew, you know, so much of it is how you play. But that's part of what the Titans have got to identify here is, like, obviously you want it to be led by Ward, but who are the other guys that are going to be foundational pieces of the franchise as they move forward here? Some of those guys probably aren't here yet, right? Like, some of those guys you're going to have to identify over the next couple of years in the draft, and they're going to come up with Ward, whether it's a receiver, whether it's an edge rusher, whatever it is, over the next couple of years, and that's going to be the way that they build their next core here. So you're hoping it starts with Ward, and over the next few years you're trying to identify who those guys are as that next young kind of core of building blocks in your leadership group.
Yeah, and then how much of the evaluation? I mean, all franchises talk about all the same stuff. You know, you want guys who love ball and all these things. You want leaders. You want character. But how much of that has gone into guys like I look at Iyo Manor, and you know, he seems like a guy who could be one of those guys in a locker room. But is he good?
Right.
If he's good, you know, then I think it can work out. But you just you have to have that. Performance. I mean, Derrick Henry, his first few years here, I would almost go so far as to say he was a malcontent. He didn't talk, and he was obviously behind DeMarc Murray. He was not happy. He wanted out, and this is all, you know, documented. I mean, I've talked to him about this stuff. You know, like he was anything but a leader early, and then he's the third string running back in that game against New England, and David Flewellen gets hurt, and so they have to play him. And then all of a sudden, he becomes this great player, and eventually that turns into, like, a really strong leader for the team. If it didn't go that way for him on the field, no one would ever be talking about Derrick Henry's leadership.
Well, I think you hit on something, too, earlier. Like, how much of this starts with the head coach? Like, there's a lot of ways that this is a big prove-it year for Brian Callahan. But to me, that's also one of them. Like, can you get your group to really buy in and believe that you've got the solutions and you've got the answers here? I mean, that's going to be, I think, a part of the challenge here. And again, you're dealing with a roster that we all know is not very good heading into this year. So can you get this team to overachieve a little bit heading into this year? That's going to be interesting to watch on the Callahan front.
Yeah, and I think He doesn't need to, you know, change who he is or anything like that. And I don't think he will. I still think that he has, like, a good way with people. But also, like, these players, are they're also looking at you. Everybody's getting paid a lot of money here. So you're coaching them. People think about players playing for coaches. Players look at coaches and say, how about that adjustment? How about that game plan?
Yeah.
Right. Like, what are you? Is the other guy kicking your butt over here on the headset? Because, like, let's go, you know? So it always comes back to performance on any of this stuff.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 will join us coming up next. We'll get her thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis. Pregame at 6:30, first pitch at 6:45. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking some Titans, and to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 and the Nashville Game Changers podcast.
Hey! Thank you. I appreciate that, Robbie. What's up, gentlemen? Good morning.
What's going on?
What's up, Jill?
Hey, yeah. No, just excited that we have something other to talk about, right?
Yeah, some actual Titans football kind of taking place.
Yes, yes. We got to see the Titans rookies, at least, on the field for the first time Saturday. And, you know, Cam Ward looked really good against air. And, I mean, that's my takeaway from Saturday. You can only take away so much, but, hey, at least he looked good making those throws. So it's something more we can talk about.
So, Jill, you were around Cam Ward for his press conference, and it's been interesting to watch. We've talked about this on the show. Like, every time he talks, like, I walk away pretty impressed with the kid and what he's all about and all those things. But you were around Ward on Saturday as he kind of went through his first rookie practice with the Titans. What did you make of him and just some of the things he said about leadership and trying to acclimate as quickly as possible to his new situation here with the Titans?
First thing I noticed, guys, he was the first one on the field. He got there early, right? Other than us who were camped out ready to go, he was first player on the field. And even some of his rookie teammates noted in their press conference when they were speaking that he was the first one in the building. So right there, Cam Ward is setting an expectation of, not only am I going to try to lead this team, but I'm going to show you and lead by example. So love hearing that, right? And then you kind of nailed it, Robbie. He says the right things. He says all the right things, right? This is a guy that was a zero-star recruit, no offers except for UIW, worked his way up. And now is obviously the number one overall pick and hopefully going to be the leader for this Titans team. He has come from a place of humble beginnings, right? And it shows in his not only his work, but he talks it. He knows that what he's given right now can be taken away at any second. He feels like he is someone that has to earn it. He has to show what he can do, start from square one. So I like a player, especially a young player, that says the right things, right? Team first, work hard, got to be a good teammate, good leader, get in the building first. It's one thing to say it and then follow up with it, but so far Cam Ward is doing exactly that. And it is refreshing to hear a young player, a rookie, say the right things, because there's some other rookie quarterbacks around the league that aren't exactly saying the right things when it comes to team first. So I it was really refreshing to hear him once again just be himself. It seems like this Cam Ward that we're getting so far and we're hearing from, that's who he is. That's just who he is, a good guy that says the right things.
So, Jill, speaking of leadership, we've been talking about the erosion, you know, of leadership. I mean, you in your time here, you've seen this team go from really good to really bad and seen a lot of great leaders leave. Obviously, Cam Ward is key moving forward. But, like, what else when you look around this room, whether it be some of these new guys coming in or just some of the veterans, where do you think they are in terms of leadership? Who else, besides the obvious Cam Ward has to be that guy, do you think can step up or should step up for this team?
Yeah, and in terms of other leaders, you're right, Joe. And usually you have someone on the other side of the ball, right? You have your Jeffrey Simmons. He's always been that vocal guy, excuse me. And at times I think he stepped up last year. That last year was so tough that I think there was obviously a lot of pointing fingers and what went wrong, blah, 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 blah. And Jeff Simmons, I had him on my podcast, Nashville Game Changers, just a couple weeks ago. And he admitted that he struggled as a leader last year. There were times where he didn't know how to lead the team. And whether it be the new guys coming in, whether it be trying to learn Callahan's foundation, culture, trying to figure that out. So even Jeff Simmons admitted that he needs to be a bigger leader. I would look to him on the defensive side right now until we kind of get a better idea of some of the other guys. I think Xavier Woods, a veteran in the league, coming over to the Titans for the first time this year, he could be a potential leader. We heard him speak in a press conference, haven't really seen him on the field yet, but he could be someone on that defensive side. And then going back to the offensive side, I think maybe Tyler Lockett, from what I've heard from him and how he was the first person to reach out to all the rookies, congratulate them, also reach out to the veterans. Tyler Lockett seems like someone that could be a game changer in terms of that culture, in terms of that camaraderie and chemistry. And he's a veteran, right? So he's got that credibility. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't. So I know those are two players, Xavier Woods and Tyler Lockett, that are new. But you know what? It didn't work last year. So we need some new guys to help lead this team. So on top of Cam Ward, I'd maybe look to them. But obviously, a lot's going to ride on Cam Ward building the chemistry and getting that credibility with the veterans this week. Yesterday was their first day together. But Cam Ward said in his conference, he's determined and eager to earn the respect of his teammates, to kind of set that tone leadership-wise. And he's going to do it by leading by example.
So, Joe, what do you make of what the Titans have done to this point in the offseason? We all know, I mean, it was brutal last year, and you look at their roster, and I still think, you know, if you're looking at it, you can identify a lot of holes that they still have. Nobody is expecting, you know, a Lombardi trophy this year as Cam Ward steps into his rookie year. But what do you make of what they've done, what they're trying to build here under this new regime with Brian Callahan in year two and Mike Borgonzi kind of stepping into the fold here with Cam Ward?
Yeah, never say never. You know, we've seen it before in the NFL where teams, you know, struggle in their first year under a new head coach. And then for whatever reason, that second year, third year, it clicks and it rolls. And a lot of that has to do with a talented quarterback under center. So I think last year to me was all about trying to build that foundation, set the tone with the culture for Callahan, that buzzword culture, right? What is that? Did it even show up in the locker room? It obviously did not show up on the field. And so I kind of look at last year almost like a path. Like, okay, you had last year to kind of figure out how you wanted to do things, who could be your cornerstone pieces. Well, now going into year two, you really don't have any excuses. They have to hit the ground running. I'm looking for the start of this season. Are we going to see an obvious difference from game one, game two of this season to the finish of last year? I was really disappointed in the finish of last season, right? We knew they were going to struggle in the beginning, take some time to figure it out. But I wanted to see some building blocks come together those final couple games, and they didn't. They went the opposite direction. That was extremely discouraging. So I need an obvious, hey, we have turned the corner. We are a completely different team these first couple games than we were last year. And again, a lot of it rides on Cam Ward, but also we can tell if a team's competitive in an NFL game or not. Titans were not competitive for majority of their games last year. I want to see them compete right out of the gates. And it goes back to, okay, are they vibing in training camp? Is the chemistry there with the wide receivers and Cam Ward? Is the defense challenging Cam Ward? Is Jeffrey Simmons continuing to be a better leader and take steps forward in his improvement on the field? So those things we can start to get an inkling for in training camp. I wish we could start seeing that in the next couple of weeks. That's not going to happen at mandatory minicamp. But I think training camp will be our first picture of, is this a team that can compete and that has figured out the culture piece under head coach Brian Callahan?
So, Joe, you've mentioned Simmons a couple of times. I really enjoyed on your podcast when he said, you know, I don't want to be a butthole, But I was like, well, that's an interesting choice of words, Jeff. But I think he was saying, he basically doesn't want to make excuses, right, for his play. But yeah. then I kind of thought he made excuses a little bit about being double teamed. I mean, like, if you're a great player, you're going to be double teamed. But I don't know, what was your sense for, you know, his mindset? Like, I just sometimes, and again, I know public comments, you know, are what they are. But, I mean, I do feel like sometimes there's a little bit of accountability that he could – embrace a little bit more.
Yeah, you know what, Joe, when Big Jeff came on the podcast and we got into last year, it was so obvious he was deeply disappointed with last season, not just the result of the team, he was disappointed with his performance. He admitted, he said that was very far from my full potential. I haven't even been close to that. I was not close to that last year, and the double team clearly was still bothering him. And this, we did that episode last month, like that's several months later. So to me, he's a competitor. It bothers him. It bugs him. He's critical of his performance because he wants to compete and be the best on the field. And I think the big turning point for Jeff is coming off of last year. Did he take advantage of this off season to work with Denard closely, have more of those conversations with the defense, improve himself on the field and also off the field with leadership? Is he taking advantage of this time rolling into camp and building momentum into the season? Because we're going to see very quickly start of the season, whether this is the Big Jeff from a couple years ago, right? That team under Vrabel, that was the top team in the AFC. Or is this the Jeff that we saw last year that did really struggle? So he admitted a lot of his fault. Yes, Joe, I'm with you there. There were, you know, plenty of excuses, as we all give sometimes. But this, I took away that he was deeply disappointed in last season, and he wants to use that as motivation. And my thought is, okay, prove us wrong. Prove us that you can handle that double team. Prove us to us that you can thrive with Denard Wilson and this defense can take that next level, because they're going to need you to take that step forward this season.
No doubt. We're getting closer to actual football and we're all hoping for some better football to watch around here. It's been a while
since we've had
that. Jill, thanks as always for your time. Really appreciate you joining us this morning and we'll talk to you soon.
Guys, appreciate you. Thank you. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 and the Nashville Game Changers podcast with us here on the program. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Adam Kaplan from Sirius XM will be with us at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
I go to Starbucks. I get a venti. Grab the pike.
He's going to be an absolute cornball in between.
Welcome to the Titans and welcome to Tennessee. Everybody's so excited.
That's my guy. Like, I love Josh Heupel.
That's my coach.
Exactly.
Of course he is. It's like Joe Milton.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on the program. Joe's favorite song in the background. I think it sucks.
God. I need a Beatles rendition of this song to play in your brain every day.
I can break this window over here.
Good stuff.
There's a couple different ways I could go with this today because there are a few things out there irritating me. I don't know, Joe. Do you want to go option one or option two?
I personally like option one.
All right. Let's go option one. All right. So I heard this from Willie yesterday. He got on.
Yeah, let's get after Willie a little bit. He thinks I'm dumb.
He got on you and Stilly about this. We heard this from our friend Gover yesterday. And I think that there's a need to address this out there. So yes,
annually.
The Milwaukee Admirals are in a playoff run right now. Okay. And they and I had a nice overtime win the other night after being down 0-2 in their series. It's a 5-game series. And they come back and reverse sweep Rockford. So they win 3-2, okay? So they've punched their ticket to the next round. They're taking on the Texas Stars, which is great. Fedor Svechkov had the game winner. It was good. And Gover was texting us yesterday because we started the show about your son's rugby team yesterday. It's like, we've talked rugby. We haven't gotten to the Admirals yet. And my response to them, I think, was something in the neighborhood of, there is a long list of things I would talk about before we start talking about the Milwaukee Admirals. Here on the show, I heard Willie when he was on with DVD yesterday talking about you and Stilly and about how you just don't think that the Milwaukee Admirals are worth anybody's time and that those games don't matter and all these things. So here's what I would like to point out, okay? If you are a Nashville Predators fan and you are rooting for the Milwaukee Admirals to have a deep, successful playoff run and you want to go see them win the Calder Cup Championship, which is the minor league AHL championship, that's great. I have no problem with that. Like, if you want to watch them play and the games are on and you – that's fine. If you're somebody like me, look, I love hockey. I don't necessarily watch every, you know, every Milwaukee Admirals game. You know, if I had turned the broadcast on the other night, I've got the AHL TV and all that stuff. If I had turned it on the other night in the overtime game, I probably would have been locked in. I also have a toddler, so I got things going on out there. And frankly, most nights, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are on, and I'm going to be watching that and not the AHL playoffs. But if you're somebody that likes that, that's fine. I think as a market, we need to recognize that there is a difference between, like, shaming Predators fans from watching that and you and me as radio host coming to the determination that our listening audience, for the most part, does not care about the day-to-day results of the Milwaukee Admirals. That does not mean that we think that each player playing for the Admirals is a waste of time. It doesn't mean that we hate the Admirals. It doesn't mean that we think that it's a waste of time, that they're having some playoff run down there and it doesn't matter. Yeah, like if I'm Barry Trotz, I want my players to win. That's great. That's awesome. And maybe that pays off for them later. But we are a radio show based in Nashville, Tennessee. And I can tell you, if we start talking in detail about the Milwaukee Admirals every day, no one's going to listen.
Ooh,
we
boy.
Do not care in this market about the day-to-day results, by and large, of the Milwaukee Admirals. So can we understand the difference between those two things a little bit?
Yeah, we're going to have to do this every year. Because I'm hearing Willie talk about this yesterday. He's like Fedor Svechkov, very important player. We all agree on that. That's fine. And so if he's having some success in this playoff run, that's fine. You can, you know, it's worth a mention if a player, when Askarov was doing things, when Askarov is bench pressing the goal,
yeah,
that's fine. You know, it's worth a mention here or there. But yeah, any sort of like granular discussion about the Admirals, I find to be a terrible waste of time. I'm sorry. Yeah. And I don't really appreciate Gover and what he did yesterday. Because he tags us, says, that's right, our Stanley NHL Generics won't talk about it, so we will. And he tags the Admiral. This is a Kaharsky thing. This is like what Kaharsky would used to do. He'd be like, hey, you know, at John Glennon says that at Jayon Brown sucked in that drill. What do you guys think? It's like, shut up. Don't tag everybody. So then Gover tags at Milwaukee Admirals Advance. Listen to my conversation with at Aaron Admirals on this week's podcast. So let's make sure to tag everybody. These two guys hate you and don't want to talk about you. No, I mean, it's just like we shouldn't be talking about Milwaukee sports teams in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's really that complicated. And again, like it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't watch and enjoy Fedor Svechkov.
The player development is huge, of course.
But if you expect us in Nashville, Tennessee, to sit here and talk about the day-to-day results of an American Hockey League team, then I guess you want us to get fired. I guess it's probably what it boils down to.
So it really is a diabolical way to get the show to end. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is your rant, and I just started yelling. I'm trying to not yell because Willie thinks I'm an idiot, and I'm going to try to – have a more, civilized discourse. But I lost it again. I'm sorry.
Johnny in Mount Juliet says, 100% agree. You can give a nod to the team, but please don't use even a tenth of a segment on talking about an out-of-market minor league team. That's basically where I come down. Look, I'm a hockey guy, you know. That's how I got my start in this business. That's where I come up with this business. Hockey is my first love. I love it. Love everything about it. Not a huge American Hockey League guy. I mean, it's all right. It's probably the second best league in the world, depending on who you ask. Some people think that's the KHL. I would probably say American Hockey League is the second best league in the world. So that's great. There's value there. But I don't understand the discourse here about, these guys must hate the Admirals here. They're not talking about it. It's like, we live in Nashville. We're not talking about this.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm a huge Detroit Tigers fan, okay? And I have been my whole life. And so I care about if someone – I mean, typically it's more like double A. You know, baseball's a little different. But and same in hockey, you got different guys at different levels. Oh, you know, what's this guy? What's Molendijk doing? Whatever it is. You know, guys in college, you know, things like that. So with the Tigers, I do care if the Toledo Mud Hens, if somebody is really on the rise and they're with the Mud Hens, and I might want to see what that player is doing. I used to cover minor league baseball, Cubs affiliate. Cubs fans very interested in what Corey Patterson and Hesop Choi were doing. No one gave a rat's ass if they won or lost any game ever. I'm sorry. Like the fans at the stadium. And this may not be the same thing for the Milwaukee, you know, the Admirals fans, but like in baseball, like you go to the stadium to have some beers and, yeah, maybe see some good players, but like you just, like it, the winning and losing, you know, Trotz will talk about, all these guys talk about like, yeah, you want to get a winning culture and all that
sure.
stuff, and that's fine. But like it really is just extending the opportunities for individuals to work on their games.
Mark from Ashland City says, you guys talk in detail about UT baseball, though. That's a terrible waste of time in Nashville. So you lose credibility.
But that's Tennessee. The Vols fans, they just won the national championship. People care about Tennessee baseball, I promise you.
People care about Tennessee and Nashville, Tennessee? Okay. Look, I've said it yesterday. Like
bizarre.
College baseball, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on in the regular season. Yeah, I'm more of a, hey, let me know when the tournament starts type of guy when college baseball takes place. But, I mean, like Tennessee and Vanderbilt just played each other. Two pretty good programs. So, yeah, we spent 15 minutes on it yesterday.
Yeah. Sorry. we're just, you know. We're just defending ourselves left and right today.
Yeah.
Someone says if the Preds farm team is that good, I'll be the stupid one to ask the question. Why aren't some of those players in Nashville? Well, some of them, like again, Svechkov.
Yeah.
There are guys who then go and help this playoff run who have just played with the Preds. So again, it's not a bad thing to follow what they're doing to make a quick mention of it. But like some people seriously think that like we should be
like talking do a daily
about,
report.
Yeah, and it's just I'm sorry.
I'm not breaking down Milwaukee and Rockford on Nashville radio. Just not happening. So,
by the way, does DVD do that?
I don't think so.
So what's Willie talking about? Is Willie being a hypocrite? I wanted an Admiral segment today, please.
I just
DVD.
Think it was funny that it's funny that Willie was. I still can't get over what he said about you in the rant. At the show yesterday.
He thinks I'm the dumber one between and the Jared versus Joe.
I was a little worried because usually when Jared and Joe talk, there's nothing productive at all that happens.
I was skeptical about even listening to them because they just scream and go off the rails. Total idiots. Especially one.
Well, let me congratulate Joe.
Let me congratulate Joe for actually putting together a coherent segment.
On a brief glimpse of non-idiocy. Congrats! Yay!
We'll get into the Titans, back into the Titans coming up next. Adam Kaplan joining the show at 8:30
Thanks,
from SiriusXM. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.